I gotta let that ride. Cracks call you nigga. We down on one knee. Yeah. But G's look like you. G's look like me. That's that David Banner from the God Box. I gotta let that ride for 1 second, y'all. That's why they treat, that's why they beat your ass like a nigga. Fuck Gucci, fuck Louis, until they come to my hood. That's that God Box. If y'all ain't got that God Box, y'all slipping. That's called Amy. Amy. What's going on, fam? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. I'm glad to have everybody tuning in tonight. We're doing a late night show, but we're ready to chop up some good game, and we're going to make it do what it do, family. I'm here, ready, locked and loaded with some game for the family. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number, ladies and gentlemen, to call up so we can chop up some late night game. And what we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So I don't want y'all to move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Ibonomy is a simple way to search black websites, black podcasts, to support black businesses and network with black business owners and professionals. On Ibonomy, you can add your own website, your own business, your own podcast show, or you can do classified ads. Download Ibonomy right now for iPhones or Androids, or you can go to Ibonomy.com today. That's Ebonomy.com. What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called AshKicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicking.com. That's AshKicking.com. How would you like to make $20 just by filling out a simple form on your computer? Well, that's possible, and there's a way that you can continue earning $20 over and over again. Learn more by completing a short survey on internet shopping habits. To complete the survey, go to internetshoppingsurvey.com. That's internetshoppingsurvey.com. Must be 18 and older and a U.S. resident to apply. What's going on, family? Check out this brand new teaser trailer for a superhero movie called Dark Chaos, Maze of the Universe. Now, Dark Chaos is starring a black female superhero character, and this film is produced and directed by POV Hilarious D. My man is doing his thing on YouTube, and this trailer is a must-see. So go to YouTube, type in Dark Chaos, Maze of the Universe, and check it out right now.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, what's going on, family? We are back right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. And again, like I said, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number, so y'all can call me up, chop it up with me, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you got Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Had to throw that out there just in case you don't have it. And also, go get the new fresh gear at TariqElite.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a quick call and see who's up this late. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello.
Yo.
Yeah, what up, Tariq?
What's up, man? Who is this?
Damon from Damon out of Kansas City, man. I had hollered at you before. Clown on my other name.
There you go.
So
what's on your mind, man?
I had a couple questions, man. I just want to understand what the pace of 1804 is going to be. If it's not going to be the same as Hidden Colors, or are you going to go in a different pace? And what's your opinion of not seeing the value in being married? Because I'm about to be 40, and I really don't see the value in being married to females that's out here nowadays. And I'm an over-the-road truck driver.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to even trust a female like that, and I'm out here trying to grit and everything, and I don't want to have to worry about what's going on at the house while
right.
I'm out on the road trying to get this paper.
Right, right. Well,
I'll take your answer off the air, bro.
All right, thank you for the call, brother, and I answer that. Now, to my brother's first question, well, no, let me answer the second question first. I'll do that. The value of marriage. The value of marriage is contingent upon the person you are considering marrying. It's always contingent upon that person as far as I'm concerned, because there's some people who are just not marriageable, and sometimes you aren't marriageable. Sometimes you're not in a space where you should be somebody's spouse. So I think it's always contingent upon who you are and where you are psychologically and at the space in your life, and it depends on the person that you click with. Because when two people are clicking, you're on the same page, you're in a good space on your own. Forget about being in a good space with somebody else. You got your shit together. You're at a very comfortable pace, and you find somebody else at a comfortable pace, and then you guys are compatible. Then there is value to that, because then you become a power couple, and power couples can create power families, and power families can create power neighborhoods. Power neighborhoods can create power communities. Power communities can create power cities, and power cities can create power empires. So it starts with that power couple and that power family first. So there's always value to marriage, relationships, all that stuff, but you just got to be at the right space. Now, as far as 1804, my man asked about the pace of it, and that's a very good question. It's going to have a lot of the same vibe as Hidden Colors, you know, because Hidden Colors is the most successful Black history documentary series, so we want to retain some of that flavor, because we have a lot of people in Hidden Colors that's going to be in 1804. The pacing is going to be a little different. It's going to be a little more slower, and there's going to be more reenactment scenes in Hidden Colors. I'm getting the names mixed up. In 1804, we're going to have a lot of reenactment scenes in this film, which we did not have in the Hidden Colors series. And shout out to my artists out there, man. I got some very good graphic artists and illustrators on the project. I put the call out. A lot of people have been submitting their work. And I've hired quite a few people, especially listeners. So I got a whole team of people working on illustrations and graphics for the film. Shout out to my brother Kanan White. He's a new guy who's submitting stuff, and we hired him. And his brother's work is phenomenal. I want to do some other stuff with this brother, man. So there's some very talented brothers out there, and I'm glad to be able to have a vehicle to hire them and also get their work out there so people can know that there's brothers out here doing some phenomenal stuff on this illustration tip, man. But 1804, man, this is you guys. I cannot wait for you guys to see the movie. I've been editing. This is why I'm up late. I'm like a night owl now. Sometimes I'm up to like 3 and 4 in the morning writing all the editing notes to my editor. So I have to write the notes out. I have to go over all the video and the audio and pick stuff out and, you know, drop it here, drop it there, and then write the note, then send it to my editor. So it's a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it. And I'm very excited about it. And this thing it's just going to be so moving. It's just going to be a very moving film, and it's going to make a real big impact. And I can't wait for the family to see it. So anyway, let's see what's going on out here. A lot of stuff I want to get into. I just saw a tweet online about the group Migos. Shout out to Migos. I like those dudes. I think Migos, aren't those brothers from Atlanta? Arthur's, yeah, I think those brothers are from Atlanta. They make some hot shit. These brothers make real hot shit. And there was a tweet I just saw tonight. And let me read the tweet. It was from Paper Magazine. And their Twitter is Paper Magazine on Twitter. I don't know what kind of magazine they are. They have like, 251,000 followers. What is Paper Magazine? I never really heard of Paper Magazine. But this is the tweet they put out a few hours ago. Well, earlier today, earlier this afternoon. It says, Migos ramps up homophobia after reportedly refusing to perform with drag queens on Saturday Night Live. You see that? You see that slick ass headline? And there's a white lady who wrote this, by the way. And I'm reading a little bit of the article now. It says, Migos found themselves in boiling hot water. That's them. That's the white supremacist media talking, by the way. Multiple times this year for their perceived homophobia. First came their statements regarding I Love McConnell's sexuality in a Rolling Stone interview. Then Quavo's misguided defense of those comments involving Frank Ocean now reports emerged that the trio did not permit drag queens on stage during their performance of Bon Appetit with Katy Perry on the most recent episodes of Saturday Night Live. So now they're homophobic because they didn't want drag queens on the stage with them. What they really didn't want, and let me talk to the white gay community because this is your bullshit. And it's about time black people start calling you out on your bullshit because most black people are afraid of you because you, a lot of people in the dominant society and gay white supremacists are part of the dominant society. But because those in the dominant society control the jobs and the economy, basically, black people are scared to say something. But those young brothers, what they didn't want, they didn't want to be manipulated as little Negro pawns, which is what many of you in the white gay community do with black people. You use us as your Negro pawns. And I take my hat off to those brothers for not wanting to be used as Negro pawns. And you're trying to shame them by labeling them homophobic. They're not homophobic. Black people are tired of being your pawns, using us to push your agenda, lashing your agenda on to us. And then when you're done with us, you get all the benefits and we're out there in the cold and you're still somewhere practicing white supremacy. I take my hat off to Migos for not wanting to be used by the white supremacist gay community, because the white supremacist gay community is just as bad as the white supremacist straight community. And we don't want you using us just because you put out goofball Katy Perry and she's doing all that little goofball shit on stage. I saw what she was performing somewhere with Migos and she's clowning on stage looking goofy as fuck. Whenever y'all want to be on some goofy sucker shit, then y'all want to latch on to us. No, thank you. No, thank you. They don't owe anybody in the white gay community or anybody any stage time. We don't owe anybody anything. Let me say this, because the white supremacist gay community, you have used us and shitted on black people. I'm talking about how you've treated black people. Y'all have shitted on black people for centuries. Even to this day, people in the white gay community, you guys sat up here and let white supremacist, alt-right homosexual Milo talk all types of crazy shit about black people, black society with his dangerous white supremacist rhetoric. He's latching on to neo-Nazis and all these people. Nobody in the white gay community said anything to repudiate that man. I'm talking about prominent gay white people. You've never done it. Y'all let this dude say all types of shit about black folks and latch on to white supremacist groups like the alt-right and the Richard Spencers and all these guys, and you said nothing. You didn't repudiate that dude. And now we owe you something. And if we don't go along with your program, then we're homophobic because we don't want to be used by you? Cut that bullshit out. And this is why black folks are going to have to let all these other groups hold their damn nuts. Because now that the Trump administration, they're going to start targeting you, hold your own nuts. Don't come marching with us. Hold your own nuts. We'll hold ours, which we've always been doing. You hold yours. I take my hat off to Migos for not being pawns. Because I remember I was watching an MTV show a few years ago, and they were pushing the whole gay is the new black thing. And they had ASAP Rocky go out on stage talking about his grandma and civil rights and how discriminating against black people is like discriminating against gays. And I'm like, dude, brother, don't let them manipulate you into saying some shit like that. That was a very shameful thing. They ASAP Rocky allowed them to make him do, because he didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. That was just some scripted thing that the writers wrote for him to say. And we got to stop being manipulated. And again, I take my hat off to Quavo, Offset, the other nigga. I don't know what his name is, but shout out to you, brother. Shout out to Migos for not being manipulated by them. And somebody in the chat room said the Arab community need to hold their own nuts too. And I agree. Yes, indeed. That's why I'm side-eyeing DJ Khaled a little bit for bringing Justin Bieber around. I'm really side-eyeing DJ Khaled, man. I'm really side-eyeing him. Because all that screaming and yelling and, yeah, we the best or whatever. And then you bring around Justin Bieber and y'all got him and y'all pushing him. I really don't like Justin Bieber. I don't like little white supremacist ass Justin Bieber. I'm not giving him a pass. That's a little sneaky fucker. And black folks are going to have to learn how to deal with refined white supremacists. We're only used to the white supremacist who's always cursing at us, being outwardly aggressive with us. But we have no idea on how to deal with the refined white supremacists like Justin Bieber. He's a very refined white supremacist, meaning he'll dress up and act like you. He'll walk around with the yo, 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 word to the mother. He'll do all that shit, but the minute he get around his white friends, he's telling nigger jokes, which he's been caught doing a couple of times. Fuck Justin Bieber. And anytime he plays I hear a record by Justin Bieber, if I'm at a club, I walk off the fucking dance floor. He's just he's the male version of Miley Cyrus. They try to dirty up their image to get a bad boy image, and then they clean it up and dump all the Negroes, which is what Miley Cyrus did. And I told people she was going to do that years ago. We got to stop being used and manipulated. And wake up to the game, because all of this naivete stuff ain't going to cut it. Black folks, we can't afford to be naive. Naivete is going to get you killed. The naive thing has to go. And we're going to have to start getting on code and doing things on code. There was a story that came out of Mexico this week where a Russian white supremacist was living down there in Cancun. And this Russian, he's a real hardcore white supremacist. I think he got Nazi tattoos. He considers himself a neo-Nazi, but he's moved down there to Cancun, Mexico, and he has this thing where he makes a bunch of negative videos about Mexicans. Ain't that the interesting thing? The white supremacists always talk about how much they hate blacks or Mexicans or whoever, but can't stop being around us. Because, see, that's what you have to understand, family. White supremacy is contingent upon you being around the people that you want to subjugate. Your identity as a white supremacist is contingent upon the subjugation of the non-white people around you. So the thing is, this Russian white supremacist is down there in Mexico, and he's making, you know, he makes a bunch of negative videos about Mexican people. And he made one video where he called a Mexican child a monkey or something like that. And, you know, I want, as far as dealing with racial incidents out here in America, you know, the Hispanic community, they can hold their own nuts as far as I'm concerned. But the way they handled that white supremacist down there, I will tip my hat to it. Let me say that. I will tip my hat to the way they handled that dude, because this white supremacist kept making these negative videos, kept talking greasy about the Mexican community. So instead of them marching, instead of them praying, instead of them going through a quote unquote court of law, which probably won't work in their favor or is tainted against them, the Mexican community there said, hey, let's just go to this motherfucker's house. So they went to his house and whooped his ass in every room of that house. They whooped the brakes off his ass and damn near killed him. They beat his ass from the basement to the roof. They got in his ass. And I take my hat off to that. I can't be mad at that. And the headlines were funny. The headlines over here says, Mexican mob almost lynched man. So they put the white supremacists in a victim mode. But I will take my hat off to the Mexican community for that. Down there in Mexico. And that's how you got to handle business sometimes. You got to treat people the same way they treat you. See, black folks are going to have to get that mantra. We're going to have to start treating people the same way they treat us. No waiting around, no playing games. You're going to have to treat people the same way. So that white supremacist ain't going to make no disparaging videos no more. He ain't going to say shit about no kids no more. See, all bets were off when he went after the kids. And most other groups, they have a thing. You're not going to attack their children. Black folks, I think we're the only fucking people where you can attack our damn children and we're walking around praying. We got to get off that, family. Once you allow any type of predatory entity to harm your offspring, you've become a completely weak organism. You've become a completely weak organism by letting predatory entities harm your offspring where you don't have a defense mechanism for your offspring. All mammals will protect their offspring except the American Negro. I've seen so many cases of black children getting beat up, harmed, assaulted by white supremacists and race soldiers out here. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this whole thing, this cowardly fear is going to have to go. And look, I understand this. There was a case down in another case. There's so many cases of black teens getting killed out here. There was one teen killed down there in Texas, and the family, they gave the family, they didn't charge the race soldier who did it, but they gave the family this measly little $800,000 settlement. So this is what's happening too, because black folks thought, well, we'll let them kill our kids as long as they give us a nice check. See, black folks are settling for the dead kid lottery. You're like, okay, they killed my kid. Oh, at least I got me a little money. That bullshit. And let me say this personally. No amount of money is enough for my damn kids. None. None. My kids are not for sale. My kids' lives are paid with blood. You give me blood. No money. I want blood. Harm my kids? I want blood. You, that's what you're going to pay me in. I ain't sitting up there with no damn Ben Crump with a damn check. Nah, I'm good. No, no, keep that. But these little measly ass settlements that they're giving now, what they're trying to do, there's a new law that they're trying to pass called Back the Blue, which basically limits any type of financial liability that race soldiers have for killing you now. Because they see that all of these little settlements, even though they're little bullshit settlements, you know, the cash is strapping these cities. The city has to pay for these damn settlements, and all these race soldiers are shooting people. So, you know, that money, they don't like them financial losses. So they're trying to make it seem like, well, they're trying to make it so that it's going to be extremely difficult to sue these race soldiers now. So the dead black kid lottery thing, that's drying up, family. That's drying up too. They're trying to find some loopholes to get up out of that now. Because look, y'all, do y'all know so many settlements being paid out? These cities, you know, even though they want to maintain white supremacy, you know, the cost is high. The cost is high to maintain white supremacy. So they're trying to get some old Nazi style laws to get around that. So we got to understand the game that's going on out here, family. And understand this white supremacy game is a global game, because we have to understand that we are one big nigga in the system of white supremacy. And that's what today's topic is. The one big Negro theory. The one big nigga theory, or Negro theory for the YouTube channel, because I have to watch the language I use on YouTube and Facebook. But the one big Negro theory, and I got that term from Ice-T. Ice-T wrote, I think he spoke, I don't know, he did an interview. He was talking about how, you know, rappers are treated like one big nigga. And it's not just rappers. And that was a very great observation. But it's not just rappers. All black people are treated like one big nigga. And we don't understand that. We think that we're somehow different from that black person over there. We think we're somehow different from the rich guy. We think we're somehow different from the guy in the projects. And in the system of white supremacy, we're just one big nigga. So we think if we just act right, or we act a little different, we're not going to be treated as the same black person over there in the hood. We have that mentality. Because, see, a lot of us thought that the only people who were getting targeted by the race soldiers were black folks living in poor neighborhoods, which is not the case. Like Trayvon Martin, for example, he didn't live in a poor neighborhood. That was a gated community. And even recently, the kid who got shot down in Texas, who got shot in the face by the race soldier, the little 15-year-old boy, that wasn't no hood cat. That was an honor roll student, a straight-A student. So all that, if you just work hard and do good and get good grades, everything is going to be good for you. Not in the system of white supremacy. We're one big nigga. And all, and just so you know, the race soldier who shot that kid, he's out. He got bail. So, you know, they're giving the green light to kill all of us. And black folks have to understand that we are in a war. And I call it the melanin war. We are in the melanin war right now. There is a complete war on melanin, and your melanin is your uniform. That race soldier female who killed Terrence Crutcher up there in Oklahoma, not only did they put her back on the job, she's getting back pay for being off work. See, that's rubbing it in your faces. That's letting you know she's back on the job to do more work. So when you see that, Betty Shelby, that's her name. Betty Shelby, I think that's the race soldier's name. When you see her in Oklahoma, guys, you're dealing with the white supremacist terrorists. You see, there was another kid out there in Maryland. He was a future military prospect. Straight up dude, man, real clean cut kid. A white supremacist came and stabbed him up. We're treated as one big nigga. Elderly black folks are getting attacked by white supremacists. We are just one big nigga in the system of white supremacy. So all of this tap dancing and trying to show people in the dominant society how we're so worthy, and how we should be treated better, and how they should learn to appreciate the goodness that we can bring. Don't waste your time. We got to stop trying to impress the dominant society. They're going to see us any way they want to see us, and that is the one big nigga. They're going to see us as the one big nigga. So our focus should stop trying to be impressive to them, stop trying to win them over. Our approach now, we have to be on the defense and the offense, and we have to be in protection mode. How are we going to protect us and our children and the elderly? Because they're going after soft targets. And we're going to have a certain level of aggression, meaning that when we step out, we have to let people know we're not to really be fucked with like that, or it's going to go down. You got to have that vibe. You got to be very sensitive now when you go out and about. When I'm out and about, man, just rolling around doing my everyday thing, I'm extra aware of my surroundings when I'm with people in the dominant society. Black folks, we got this thing where we want to be high and goofy and dense and not aware and act like we're in some other system other than a system of white supremacy. We don't have that luxury no more. We need to be ultra aware of our surroundings when we go out. When I see, when I drive around and I see little black children walking around, y'all don't understand how much that concerns me. That bothers the hell out of me. When I see little black children walking around by themselves, that's the last thing we should be doing, family. And I'm so serious. We should not let black children walk around in this climate that we're in. These people are using black children as soft targets. It's nothing for them to harm a black child. Black folks don't really understand what we're dealing with out here. These white supremacists are on some demonic bullshit right now. And black folks just don't want to fathom that. We're on that, let me, don't take my joy shit. Fuck that, man. Protect these kids. Do not let these kids walk around by themselves. God damn, I see that way too much. And I saw another video down in Texas where there was a bunch of young teenagers out. They were like 14, 15, and the race soldiers rolled up on them. They grabbed a 15-year-old girl, and she's crying and yelling, and they socked her in the face. I mean, God damn. Black people, you should not let your children walk around. Number one, the environment is too dangerous. And number two, most of you black people are too cowardly to do anything about your kids being harmed anyway. Let them stay home so they can be safe. Because you ain't going to do shit but cry and forgive if something happens to your damn kids. Let them stay home so they can be safe. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Black children are easy targets right now, family. That's the last thing you should do. Even black people in the 1950s and 60s, there weren't these many murders back then. You didn't have a lot of murders in the 1950s and 60s because black people knew what it was. Black people knew how to go out in groups. They knew which neighborhoods to avoid. They knew what it was. They knew that they had to circle their wagons and create their own parallel economy. They knew. There were not that many murders in the 1950s like that. So when there was a murder of a child, all black folks around the country got on code. And said, hey, fuck that now. It ain't going to be that, killing the kids. Black folks got on code. Now, they kill kids every week in black society. We sit up here and be on TV begging and praying. We got to get off that. I take my hat off to my brothers and sisters in South Africa. You know, I'm very critical of South Africa because I've been over there, love the people, but you got an 80% black majority over there being dominated by the small group of white supremacists over there, and that's totally unacceptable. But some white supremacists killed a little black kid over there, a teenage black kid, earlier this month. They said that he was in their garden stealing sunflowers, and that's what happens in a system of white supremacy. They take the land, they take the resources, and deny the native people of access to the food, land, and resources. So when they go and try to steal a little something to eat, all of a sudden they're criminalized and killed. So they arrested these race soldiers. Well, they weren't really, they were farmers. They were white farmers over there, but the judge over there gave these guys bail, so they got out. So the brothers and sisters over there in South Africa, they start burning up some of them houses over there. I think they burned the houses of the white supremacists over there, and the media has kind of kept that quiet. So I take my hat off to the brothers and sisters in South Africa for waking up. I take my hat off to the brothers and sisters in South Africa. Yeah, somebody in the chat room said stealing sunflowers. Yes, stealing sunflowers. I guess he was trying to get the sunflower seeds. Somebody said, what's the name of that black-owned gun store? Redstone Firearms. Redstone Firearms. Yeah, I think the kid was trying to get some damn sunflower seeds. You dig? The kid was trying to get sunflower seeds, and they got him, took him on a truck. They said they were trying to take him to the police station or whatever, but he fell off the truck. Bullshit. They lynched that kid, and they should have burned down those fuckers' cribs. They should have. I take my hat off to those brothers and sisters out there. We're going to have to treat people the exact same way they treat us. And speaking of international stuff, did y'all see Trump and Melania over there in Saudi Arabia and all that stuff? Melania, that woman looks like a fucking hostage. Melania Trump, this woman looks miserable. This woman looks like she's just psychologically dead at being around a scumbag like Trump. She won't hold this nigga's hand. He tries to hold her hand. She keeps swatting her hand away. Have y'all seen the video clips? There's a couple of video clips of him trying to hold her hand and she's swatting his shit away low key. She can't stand that fucker. If your own mail order bride can't stand you, she looks like she can't even fake it no more. It looked like the Adams family. They were over there with the Pope over there in Rome. The Pope looking crazy. Melania and the daughter looking crazy. Trump standing up there with a crazy sinister grin. It's like a horror show. It's like a horror show. That woman can't stand that dude. And I love it. But the thing is, we have to understand how these white supremacists are getting down. And this whole Russian thing. We got to understand the deal with this whole Russian thing. And I explained this before. Trump and that whole Russian thing, that's part of the white supremacist agenda. The white supremacists have always been trying to link up with the Russians because if things go down, which things are going to go down over here, and they're going to start rounding people up. That's almost inevitable. Unfortunately, this is why black folks have to be mentally, physically, psychologically, and codified and prepared when the shit goes down. Because when the shit goes down, it's not just going to be black folks who are rounded up. They're going to round up some white folks too, because white folks ain't down. Some white folks ain't down with the bullshit. And, you know, that's why a lot of white people are protesting. But when they turn this shit into a for real Nazi police state, when they start trying to confiscate guns and round folks up and get those Rex 84 camps filled up with people, you got people in the U.S. military and the National Guard. They're not going to want to round up other American people, especially if they're white. Now, they don't have no problem rounding up Negroes, but they will have reservations about rounding up another white American. Look at some of those riots, like in Berkeley, where there's a lot of white people. You notice, look at those riots where there are a lot of white people out here in the States. You notice the police don't do shit to them. The police just kind of sit back and let it happen. They don't do shit because they see themselves. They're not going to start rounding everybody up and beating them up and putting them in jail. The police just kind of stand around and just let it play out because they see themselves in other white people. So they have reservations about going after other white people, even when they're committing crimes. But if you get some type of Russian paramilitary people, they don't have no kind of camaraderie with white Americans over here like that. So they have no problem doing that. That's why you have these private paramilitary organizations like Blackwater. And I think they changed the name of Blackwater because of the controversy. And I want y'all to research Blackwater, and I want you to research Eric Prince, who started Blackwater. Eric Prince, that's one of Trump's dudes. I want y'all to follow these names. Eric Prince, that's one of Trump's guys. He started Blackwater, which is a private paramilitary group. They're like this secret military group. And Blackwater is connected with the Russians. Google what I'm saying while I'm talking. I want y'all to follow and Google at the same time. You got to learn how to follow the dots. Blackwater has always been connected with the Russians. This Eric Prince dude has always been connected with them. And I said on the show before, Eric Prince, he's Betsy DeVos's brother. Betsy DeVos, that's who Trump elected or appointed as the head of education out here. And people are like, this chick ain't got no experience in the education field. She has zero experience in the education field. So people were confused as to why he appointed her to that position. That was just some token bullshit position. They're just trying to get political pawns in places because they're getting in good with the Russians. That whole Blackwater thing, this was a military operation. Understand that. Somebody said the Blackwaters were sniping dudes in Katrina. I heard that too. It was, from what I understand, some Blackwater people, that private military organization, they were down there sniping brothers and sisters in Katrina. And there's thousands of black folks who got missing during Katrina. There were thousands of prisoners who were missing, black prisoners. Oh, it was a whole bunch of fuckery. See, black folks, we party in bullshit to the very end. While we out here trying to get flat screen TVs and all this shit, these white supremacists are out here having a racial target practice with us. While we out here with a floating on a box of Jordans, these people up here wiping out thousands of black people out here. You dig? But that whole Eric Prince, Blackwater, Betsy DeVos, Russian connection, all of that is to get in good and have Russian military and Russian private military over here, so when shit goes down, they can round up American citizens, and the Russians won't even have no kind of sentimental attachment to doing that, or for doing that, rather. So this is why they're giving certain people these bullshit token positions, like Sheriff Clark. They offered him some kind of token bullshit position at Homeland Security. It was like assistant director. It was basically a janitorial position. That's what I call it. They wanted to make this nigga the head janitor at Homeland Security. And I don't know if he can take the position or not, because Sheriff Clark is in so many scandals. People are dying in this coon's prison. I mean, he's involved in so many scandals. There's nothing about this man that qualifies him for any kind of work at Homeland Security. He's just a token mascot coon. He's not in the military. That's another thing. And I'm shout out to my brother Sean King for helping to expose that. Sheriff Clark, you know, he walks around in these little military outfits with these pins and stuff, and he's always doing these military salutes. Sheriff Clark has never been in the fucking military. That man is not a military guy. He's never been in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. That nigga ain't never been in nothing. He's not a military dude. He's wearing a bunch of fake medals. That nigga is Captain Crunch. He's no real fucking captain. He's Captain Kangaroo. He's not a real fucking captain. All that military flexing he's doing, walking around in uniforms, those are fucking Halloween uniforms. They ain't served in no military. Other than the Coon Brigade. So, but what they're doing, they're positioning him, or they're trying to position him, so when they start to target black people, they can rush him out and push him out and have him do all the, or as act as a puppet to do all the dirty work for them, by announcing that Black Lives Matter is aligned with ISIS and all this stuff, because they just had a bombing over there in the UK, and that's very unfortunate. And allegedly it was some Islamic dude, a Muslim dude from, I want to say Libya. I don't know all the details. I don't know where the guy is from, because they are. It was a suicide bomber. Then they went over and arrested the dude's dad. Then they arrested his brother. See, when there's a terrorist attack from a non-white supremacist, boy, they go after the whole fucking family. They go after the whole family. They immediately arrested his brother. Although they go after the whole family. So they don't do that for white supremacists. When the white supremacists carry out a terror attack, they always run the old lone wolf shit. Like they're not part of a major network, which most white supremacists, they're part of different networks. They're not lone wolves. Most of them are connected with 4chan, that website. They're connected with Stormfront. There's so many murders and shootings and racial violent incidents associated with those sites. It's ridiculous. But we just have to understand how we are treated like one big nigga. And that brings me to the Bill Cosby case. Now, the Bill Cosby case is happening right now. They're going to go to court in June. And like I said from the beginning, and don't let the white supremacists fool you, this whole case with Bill Cosby is 100% racial. It's 100% racial. And Bill Cosby and his people, they've come out and said that it's racial. Cosby's daughters, if they've come out and said that it's racial, of course it's racial. See, the problem with Cosby spent years kind of telling people, don't look at race, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And that was the problem with Cosby. That's why he's kind of out here dangling on his own. And a lot of black folks are kind of, you know, you got to hold your own nuts, Bill. And I'm like that to a certain degree, too. But I do understand this, and I want black folks to understand this. Bill Cosby, yes, he made his cake and he has to eat it, too. He shouldn't have been out there with the whole pull your pants up and don't steal the pound cake. You know, he shouldn't have been on that. But we have to understand that Bill Cosby is a proxy that's being used by the white supremacists to represent all black people. Remember, we're all just one big nigga in the system of white supremacy, and the white supremacy will pick certain black people out, especially a prominent black person, and let that black person represent all black people. So Cosby, the white supremacists are using Cosby as a proxy to keep all of us in check. What they're doing with Cosby, they're sending a message. They're saying to us, black society, if you ever get out of line, I don't care how much money you have. We don't care how much fame you have. We will bring your ass down and make you bow. So you all better stay in line. And we'll do it to Cosby, who's the biggest, most famous Negro. We can do it to any of you. So Bill Cosby is being used by the white supremacists to represent all of us and to keep all of us in check. Don't get it twisted. That's how the white supremacists think. That's why all of them are on code with this Bill Cosby thing. And they're white people who are saying that he is a rapist, not an alleged. They're just saying he's a racist, a rapist. And it's I'm white and I say so. They're using the I'm white and I say so narrative. And I broke down many of the accusers. Go to melanoidnation.org, check out an article that was written on there a couple of years ago exposing about a couple of dozen of some of those accusers. Some of those women are blatantly lying. They've been proven liars. And again, this whole thing is racial. And there are black people who will sit up and say, yeah, Bill Cosby deserved it. And let me talk to you, Negroes who say that. First of all, you're not on code. You think by throwing Bill Cosby under the bus, you're going to get some kind of brownie points with white society. Some reason Negroes think if you throw another black person under the bus and go out and talk about how he ain't shit and how he deserves something, as if the white supremacists ain't thinking about you when they're dealing with that Negro. They're doing the same thing to you and they're wishing the same thing on you. We're just one big Negro. We're just one big Negro. That was them with Cosby, putting him in his place. They propped this man up, relished in this man, gave him success. He was America's dad, and turned around and shitted on him. And what's interesting, I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine from back in the day, a lady named Beth. She was a writer for The Tonight Show, and I worked with her on The Tonight Show when I did some stuff with Jay Leno back in the day. So she used to work for NBC, and she was like, yeah, Cosby's a rapist, he's a rapist, and her and I were friendly. We had a little friendly debate going on, because I highly disagree. I kept telling her, I disagree with that. I don't think he was a rapist. She's like, yeah, he was an idol of mine. And I'm thinking, this is so ironic, because Bill Cosby basically saved NBC. NBC was going in the shitter until The Cosby Show. NBC was going to the shitter in the mid-80s. NBC wasn't popping in the mid-80s. In the mid-80s, it was about ABC, CBS, shit like that. But NBC, there was no real hot shows on NBC during the mid-80s until The Cosby Show came on and saved that shit. That saved NBC, man. Took them to the top. During the 80s, everybody ate good off that shit for years. So they turned on that brother because they had to let him know, look, you're rich, you're successful, you're America's dad, but you're still a nigga in a system of white supremacy. And at the end of the day, we're going to treat you as such. Because when we make you, we have to make sure we break you. So you niggas don't get any ideas. Because the thing is, this is why we have to learn how to get independent success by trying to not deal directly with the white supremacists. This is why we have to, if we have to deal with the white supremacists, we have to have an alternative economy or parallel economy so that they can't sabotage it or snatch it away when they feel like it. So with the Bill Cosby case, it's coming up. Now, at first, the prosecutors, they stacked the jury with a bunch of white people. They took off all the black people on the jury, and Cosby's lawyers were complaining about that, which, again, them taking the black people off the jury just shows the racist agenda. That's more proof that this is a racial agenda. They were taking the black folks off the thing. So now they got a couple of black people on there. There's 11 white people, 2 black folks. So I don't know how many people it's going to take to make a conviction, but all those white people there, I suspect that they have a bunch of white supremacists who's going to be on code. We live in a society now where a jury full of white people can see a black person get shot in the back and say, oh, no crime here. So they're definitely loading these jury pools up with white supremacists who's going to be on code no matter what evidence is there. The evidence to them is like blah, blah, blah. Evidence means nothing. You can have black folks repeatedly over and over and over and over again getting shot on camera with their hands up, with their hands behind their back, laying on the ground. And these white supremacist juries are saying, "Hump, I don't know what it is, but the white guy is innocent. Just tell me what I need to say. I'm listening for the code words. Tell me what codes to believe so I can acquit this guy and go home." So I understand they got a couple of black jurors on there, but they're going to try to bury Cosby. And once they get a conviction, which they're going to do everything they can to get a conviction. Once they get a conviction, then they're going to start suing him like crazy. All that $40 million, they're going to drain that. They're going to drain that, and they're going to open up the pocketbooks, and they're going to drain that paper. That whole thing was a racial money grab. And if they get a conviction, which they'll probably get one, because again, they're going to use the "I'm white and I say so" narrative, there's going to be another group of women they invite. Because people kill me with that. There's so many people, says 50 women. Oh, that's a lot. It's more than 50 women. There's 1,000 women if you offer money and invite people. They're inviting people to file lawsuits and get a part of the money. Of course, you're going to have a bunch of people. You're inviting them. You're saying to them in dog whistle language, hey, if you know Bill Cosby or you ever met him, if you have a good enough lie, we'll put you on TV. Just give us a good enough lie. Oops, Now it's up to 60. Oh, my God, he must have done it. Oops, it's up to 70. He must have done it. If it's 70, oops, it's up to 80. God, 80 people couldn't be lying. Fuck out of here. Yes, they could lie. Because y'all tell us we lie when we tell you there's systematic white supremacy. We tell you when we're being racially discriminated against. When millions of us tell you that, we're like, well, we don't really have any evidence. But when it comes to a bunch of broke, crazy, lying white women saying that Bill Cosby fucked them in the 1950s and raped them 8 times on 8 different occasions, oh, she can't be lying. Which is, I'm white and I say so. So we have to understand the game that's being played out here, family. We have to understand that the game that's being played. And Bill Cosby represents us, and we are just one big Negro in the system of white supremacy. Let me see who this is on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Tariq, what's going on, brother?
Hey, brother, who is this?
This is Jamie, man.
What's your name?
Jamie.
Jamie, where you calling from, Jay?
I'm actually calling out of North Las Vegas.
North Las Vegas, man. You be safe out there. Somebody's talking about there might be some kind of terror threat out there for Memorial Day weekend. So you be safe out there.
Oh, yeah. I don't go nowhere anyway, man. But I want to... I was actually listening to one of your old shows, right? And I think it was talking about racial dialect or something like that. And I remember you were saying how white people got no power, like, you know, individually, because it's like, as I was growing up, I always kind of felt like, kind of like scared in a sense when I'd be at work and be at meetings with them. But ever since I kind of listened to that show, man, it gave me so much, like, you know, power over myself, you know. And I want to ask you, how can I learn how to basically, like, articulate myself a little bit more better?
Yeah, what you have to do, you can articulate yourself better by knowing what you're talking about and thinking like a chess player. When you think like a chess player and you study white supremacy and you study the white supremacists, you can know how to verbally have your shit right. And you have to understand this, because that's a very good question, brother. See, the thing is with a lot of black people get tripped up with the white supremacists because black people are taught that the white supremacists know everything, which they do. They know a lot. White supremacists do know a lot. White supremacists are very smart. They are very smart. Let's not get it twisted. They're very smart. But we also have to understand, and black folks underestimate this, we don't understand, and black folks don't understand how much white supremacists are full of shit, though. They are full of shit, and 85% of what a white supremacist tells you is going to be a lie. So always assume that. I learned that at a very young age. When I went to school with a bunch of little hillbilly white kids, they would lie about shit and lie about them being superior. They would just lie about everything. So even as a kid, I picked up on that. And even now, the white supremacists will lie at the drop of a hat. So you have to understand that. And the fact when people lie like that and they're pathological liars, that's insecurity. You dig? And so when I learn about their insecurities, and the white supremacists have to depend on a system of militarily backed non-justice for them to compete. So that shows the innate power that we have. They are superior on a social level, but they're only superior because they're militarily backed up. And I take pride in that. It takes an army of you fuckers to go against me. You dig? That's how I look at it. When I went out there to Baltimore, I saw rocket launchers, tanks, AK-47s, armed troops, helicopters all over the place for one city block of unarmed black children. Those children are powerful. If you take all that to contain a city block of unarmed black children, that shows who has the real power. You dig? So you have to look at it like that, family. But thank you for the call, brother.
And can I say one more thing?
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Another thing I was checking out, you be talking about it be a lot of racists, and they be, it's put it like this, man. When I used to be, I work at United Healthcare. It's this, you know, company. you know, whatever. But when I used to be like cleaning all the dirty and filthy equipment and stuff like that, I used to get so much love.
Oh, yeah.
But now I got like a promotion in a sense, right? And it's this Asian lady, but she kind of looked black, but she always trying to play this black role. So I started listening to some of your podcasts from back in the day, and then I called her on her. So I was like, you know, you say you down with the struggle, let me see your ID. So when I tried to get her to pull her ID, bro, she looked so stupid, man. And she tried to, like, make it seem like I'm the problem because I don't know how to, like, write all these long, elaborated emails and stuff like that. And I just say what I got to say, and I keep it going, brother. And everything they tell me to do, I do it, and I make sure it's done correctly, and I move on, brother.
Absolutely. That's how you got to be. That's exactly how you got to be, family. Real talk, man. Much respect, brother. Yes, indeed. And I'm going to do another show about those Asians, too. I'm going to have to talk about these Asian wannabe white supremacists too. I might do that on next week's show. I might even do it Sunday, but I'm going to have to really break that down, because we're going to have to keep our eyes open for the Asian wannabe white supremacists, because they're getting thick up in here too. The Asian wannabe white supremacists, they're a problem too that we are going to have to be very aware of. You know, we got to watch out for the alt-righters and all of these people. But when we see a suspected Asian wannabe white supremacist, we're going to have to keep our eyes open, too, because I'm doing a lot of research. There's a lot of these Asian wannabe white supremacists who's connected with these alt-righters. And I'm going to break that down on another show. Let me get up out of here. Y'all got, you know what y'all got to get? I played my brother David Banner's song earlier. His song, I called it Amy, but it was Am I. David has like a sale of the, like a package. It's almost like the Mackish package, but he has something called the God Box. And it's a package of, it's his music DVD. It's a flag, a real tight flag David created. It's some stickers. It's a book. I think the book is by Anthony Browder. If I'm correct or not, I'm not sure. But it's a book in there. He also has the Hidden Colors 3 DVDs in. So his David, they've been getting DVDs from us. So these are the authentic Hidden Colors 3 DVDs. I think there's some T-shirts in there. But it's a real nice God Box package that David Banner is selling. I think you got to email him for the God Box package. But y'all follow my brother David on Instagram and follow him on Twitter to get access to that and get my brother's album, man. My brother's album is banging right now. And also, man, don't forget, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Go and get the fresh gear at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. Get the 1804 shirts, man. The movie's coming soon, 1804movie.com. I can't wait for y'all to see the new trailer. I'm trying to see when I want to put the trailer out, because I kind of want to put the trailer out when we're getting closer to the movie. I'm thinking about doing it sooner so that we can get a longer buzz about it, you know. But I'm working that out. But I can't wait for you guys to see the new trailer. The first trailer that y'all saw of 1804, people were open on that, and that's just the teaser trailer. That ain't shit compared to the official full-length trailer. Oh, it's like night and day. And also, the Crispy Biscuits game app is coming soon. That's almost done. That's going to be ready in a week or so. The Crispy Biscuits video game. It's a very fun game. I play it on my phone. We got like a couple of levels done already, and the shit is addicting. The Crispy's Biscuits app is very addicting, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, man, let me get up out of here, family. It's been real, man. I hope y'all have a great evening, man. Check in with me Sunday on Ustream, and I'm going to holla. Y'all be good, family.